Fresh summer produce is filling grocery store shelves and farmers market booths as we head into the middle of summer, but what do we do with all those veggies? It's Food Friday, and our guest has lots of advice on making the most of the season, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What summer produce do you always have the most of? What do you look forward to? What fruits or veggies do you enjoy cooking with in the summertime? Do you have a favorite recipe? What do you do with all the zucchini that's on the way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Aaron Clark is a Wisconsin-based cook and founder of Well Plated by Aaron, a blog with healthy and affordable recipes. She's the cookbook author of The Well Plated Cookbook, fast, healthy recipes you'll want to eat. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. What kind of produce, Aaron, do you have filling up your kitchen right about now?
I mean, should we just talk about the Z word? Like, I think we should just get right after it. Funnily enough, we don't have, I have a really small yard and we don't have room to grow vegetables. So I have a proliferation of herbs, which I love. But I always say I don't need to grow my own zucchini because I have people in my life who grow zucchini. And like, I feel like I'm just going to open my back door one day and there's just going to be a huge bag of it. And I'm just going to have to come up with something to do with it. But it's kind of a fun problem to have too. I love zucchini, both for sweet and savory recipes. So it is a quote unquote problem that I look forward to every summer.
And you know, I've got some zucchini in my garden. I'm not a great gardener, so it's going to be a little while yet before I have the produce. Grilling. You're a big fan of grilling zucchini and of eggplant, which I also planted this year, and I've already eaten, you know, one little guy. Talk about grilling those zucchinis and eggplants.
That is just our go-to simple summer side. I think people, when we think about grilling, we tend to immediately turn to meat, but vegetables are phenomenal on the grill. Even if you think that you don't really care for eggplant, if you slice it thinly and throw it on the grill with some olive oil and seasonings, it comes out so tender. You get that nice char flavor. Cauliflower is also phenomenal on the grill. This is going to sound like a weird word to use, but it almost tastes meaty. And another trick you can use to give your grilled vegetables even more flavor, my favorite way to season them is with steak seasoning, believe it or not. So a rub that you would normally use for a steak, try it on some cauliflower, try it on your zucchini or eggplant. It gives it a really rich, peppery flavor that combined with that signature char from the grill is so delicious. You know, big plate of that. You know, maybe just like a caprese salad and some shrimp or whatever on the side if you want. Like, you can have a summer dinner with almost no cooking at all.
Yeah, you know, actually for years in my house, the go-to zucchini seasoning was a certain chef's BAM hamburger seasoning. What is it about that? Why does that work so well with zucchini? The stuff you'd put on beef, it tastes great on zucchini.
Yeah, you know, something that I love about zucchini, other than the fact, I mean, it's healthy, it's super fast, but if you think about it, it's pretty mild. So I feel like whatever kind of seasonings you want to throw at it, it is an excellent vehicle for that because the zucchini is not going to take over. It's just going to let that yummy seasoning shine. Or, you know, maybe our brains are just wired to love hamburger seasoning. Whatever the reason, I'm here for it.
We're talking to Aaron Clark on this edition of Food Friday. Aaron's the author of the Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. We are talking about summer produce, what's with us now, what is coming in the weeks and months ahead. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you excited about in your garden, your farmer's market, showing up fresh at the grocery store? What are you cooking with it? Do you have questions for Aaron about what to do with product X? And what is your solution for zucchini overload? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Aaron, you mentioned you've got a lot of herbs going. We've got some on our porch, too. Basil, and you've got a recipe. We've got this at WPR.org/Food Friday for your basil pesto. Talk to us about the basics of pesto making.
Definitely. So I think when most of us picture pesto, we think of that classic Italian basil pesto, which is phenomenal as everything from a sandwich spread, pasta sauce. You can marinate with it. And it's a great way to use up a lot of that fresh basil and just take advantage of that abundance. But basil is certainly not the only option. The basics of any pesto are going to be some kind of green, whether it is herbs, or I actually like to put spinach in mine too, to sneak in a little veggie. Nuts. So pine nuts are classic. They're also really expensive, but you don't have to use pine nuts. You could use walnuts, cashews. You can use sunflower seeds if you have a nut allergy. And then olive oil and Parmesan. So just, and you really can play around with that to create some unusual combinations with what you have. So for example, if your parsley is doing great, try a pesto with parsley and almonds. I really like kale and mint and pistachio together. You really can have a lot of fun with it. And I honestly just can't think of a way that you can go wrong.
Yeah, I got to say, Erin, there's a turning point in my life because it used to be like, okay, I'm making pesto. I must precisely, they say basil, I use basil. They say pine nuts, I use pine nuts and so on. When I realized that you could do the stuff that you were just talking about, like I could do cilantro and almonds, and I don't know if it's pesto anymore, but it's awesome. Like we could really experiment with this stuff.
It's true. And it just, it's one of those things in the kitchen where it's so fun to be creative. Pesto, you know, whatever you want to call it, it just brightens up dishes. It makes them taste so just alive and like summer. And it's one of those moments for me where I feel like, yes, like I mean, isn't it just such a good feeling to be like, I made something awesome.
Yeah.
And then if you grilled it yourself or it's local, that is just like even more pride that you can put into cooking. It's just really beautiful and really fun.
And, you know, one thing is if you have too much of something, like your basil's gone nuts this year or something, you can make the pesto and then you can freeze it, right? Could you talk about a little bit about the freezing of the produce that's out there now?
Definitely. So there is just nothing better on a Wisconsin winter day than busting out a container of the pesto and just bringing a taste of that vibrancy back to kind of beat those winter blues a little bit. The biggest tip that I have for freezing pesto and storing pesto in general is air is its enemy. The second the air starts to touch the surface of the pesto, it really steals its flavor. So what I'll usually do is portion it into small containers. I even have some friends that like to use ice cube trays for their herbs, and then they'll just, you know, pop them in a pot of soup. For us, I usually do a little bit bigger, kind of what I would need to do a pot of pasta. And then I really press the plastic wrap against the top to get rid of all that air. If you don't want to use plastic, another great option is that you can just drizzle some olive oil on top, and that provides a nice seal for it too.
Now, my wife just did this with some basil stuff. And I think the warning here is that ice cube tray is now dedicated to herbal products. Don't think you're going to go back to using it for ice anymore.
Oh, yeah. Unless you want like a little garlic. A little garlic kick to your water there.
And I don't. I really don't.
No.
All right. Again, find that basic pesto recipe with variations at WPR.org/Food Friday. Oh, yeah, right. Before we move on from that, you've got a tip. If people are like, yeah, I want the pesto, but I'm vegan or I don't want dairy for whatever reason, what are options if we don't want the Parmesan in it?
Definitely. So, I mean, your first option is you can just leave it out. Parmesan adds a nice kind of salty and umami type of flavor. So you're going to want to season it with a little bit of additional salt to taste to make up for that. I would recommend toasting your nuts for pesto. I like to do that anyway. You can kind of get away with skipping it if you're using Parmesan, but if you're omitting that Parmesan, toast the nuts first just to kind of build some of that flavor back in. And then another fantastic alternative is a product called nutritional yeast, which when I first saw it, I thought seemed like really weird and hippy dippy, but it's not. It's available at the grocery store. Like, you know, you can pick it up at Pick and Save, and it has some health benefits, but I really love it because it has that same umami and almost cheesy flavor that Parmesan cheese does. So you can swap that. I would use a little bit less nutritional yeast. So if a recipe calls for a quarter cup of Parmesan, which is 4 tablespoons, I would maybe dial it down to 3 tablespoons on the nutritional yeast.
We got an email from Grant. Grant says they discovered a fantastic Mexican herb called papicha, P-I-P-I-C-H-A. Has an aroma and flavor, Grant says, that resembles cilantro or lemon basil. Great mixed into a focaccia dough or in addition to any dried bean dish. I feel like I've heard this name and I know absolutely nothing about it. So I'll call myself 90% stumped, Erin. How about you?
That is really unusual. I really enjoy shopping at the farmer's market. I haven't seen that around, but I would love to know if I can find it or grow it myself. I'm just reading a little bit about it now. I love the focaccia idea. It looks like it's great on fish and in some different soups too.
Oh yeah. I came across it. Somebody was talking about Oaxacan recipes on the show. Okay. I'm looking online. You and I are both searching online for papicha.
And I'm like,
All right. Well, we both have to try it now. Well, it's Food Friday. We're talking to Aaron Clark, founder of Well Plated, author of the book, The Well Plated Cookbook, Fast Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. You can join the food conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you a gardener? What types of produce do you always end up having too much of? What's hopping out at you right now? What are you going to do with it this weekend? Do you have zucchini contingency plans in case you end up with a couple baseball bat-sized zucchini after going away for a week or something like that? I don't know. Call it at 800-642-1234. Share your favorite summer seasonal produce. That's 800-642-1234. Find some great recipes from Aaron at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with Aaron Clark, Wisconsin cook, author of the well-plated cookbook, Fast Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. We are cooking with summer produce, figuring out what to do with it, even if we have too much of something. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your advice, your favorites, what's in your garden, what's in your farmer's market right now that you're excited about. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to share with you some of the things that my wife and I do with pesto. We find a store-bought pesto that we really enjoy. And we will mix it with ricotta cheese. When we're making lasagna, we'll put it in soup stock. We'll put it in our pasta sauces. It's a real good all-around spice. We're picking things up. But one of our favorite things to do is we'll find a nice store-bought pizza crust. And instead of putting down a tomato paste-style sauce, we'll put down a layer of pesto. And then on top of that, we'll put grilled onions and blue cheese and then pop that in the oven. And it sounds kind of unusual, but it is extremely good.
Mark, I love it. Thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah, Aaron, one of our go-tos is a quick flatbread pizza with pesto. Whether, like Mark, sometimes I get store-bought stuff, but if I've got good fresh stuff, there's no better flatbread pizza.
It is so delicious. We love pesto. I especially love that with some roasted tomatoes and goat cheese. My husband's more of a red sauce pizza person, so sometimes we'll actually mix red sauce and pizza sauce together, pesto and the classic red tomato sauce together. And it really is kind of that's a really fun one to try too.
Mark, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Heather joins us now in La Crosse. Heather, hi. Are you there, Heather? It looks like she had a zucchini recipe for us. Heather, try calling back. We're not hearing you if you're talking at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Well, instead of a zucchini recipe, Aaron, you shared with us a grilled corn salad. Can you tell us about this recipe?
Mm-hmm. There's another piece of produce I eagerly wait for at the farmer's market. And I think there's a bit of fervor, like whenever the first sweet corn of the season comes to the farmer's market, there's really nothing like it. While grilled corn on the cob is delicious and classic, if you're going to a party or you want something that's just a little easier to eat, but that is still really just scrumptious and fresh and seasonal, I love to make a grilled corn salad. So you grill the corn, cut the ears off of it, or cut the kernels off of the grilled cob. And then I just mix it with some really simple like avocado, feta cheese, or you could use a queso fresco, and then a bright lime dressing. It kind of reminds me of Mexican street corn a little bit. It is to die for.
Now, if I want to make a salad like this with corn, I'm not necessarily going to fire up my charcoal grill to grill precisely one ear of corn. What are your thoughts on getting kind of a good roasted or grill like flavor inside?
You can totally do that. So first of all, just go ahead and grill like several ears of corn. No one will be mad if there's extra. And you can add extra. That salad calls for a couple of ears. But I've actually had good luck if you cut the kernels off of the cob before they're cooked, and then spread them on a sheet pan with some olive oil, salt, and pepper, and you can actually get a really nice char effect using your oven's broiler. So I will just pop that under the broiler. Don't walk away. That's the classic broiler like switch that I feel like that always happens to me. The second I walk away, my broiler burns whatever is underneath it. But you can get kind of a really nice crisp color on there too. You don't get the same charred flavor, but it really gives you that nice texture.
That, yeah, it sounds fantastic. Again, find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. You can join our Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. Aaron Clark with us, author of the Well-Plated Cookbook. You can find a Well-Plated by Aaron online. You can also find a few recipes from Aaron at WPR.org/Food Friday. We're talking about what to do with our summer produce. You can tell us what you are looking forward to making this weekend at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Aaron, your advice to not walk away from the broiler reminds me of one of my favorites with kale. I like to make kale chips in the oven.
Oh, so good.
And that's one where if you walk away for 2 minutes, you're going to burn your kale chips. What are some of your, I mean, kale starts in the spring, comes back in the fall. What are some of your favorite kale-y things to do?
Well, I mean, kale pesto is actually very good.
Oh, yeah.
Try blending in some white beans with it. It makes like a really hearty, healthy sauce. We love kale chips over here too. And I'm actually a huge fan. I know they've gotten a bad rap, but I love kale salads. In my cookbook, I have kind of a build your own. I call it the three killer kale salads that will take you through the seasons. The biggest difference is if you chop your kale into really super fine ribbons, and then you've got to massage it. So I just sprinkle it with a pinch of salt, and then you just get in there with clean hands and grab handfuls of it for several minutes. And what you'll notice happens is the kale turns dark green and becomes more fragrant. Massaging it breaks down the fibers, and it gives it almost this buttery texture. And in addition to being super, super good for you, because kale is a heartier green, that salad can last in the refrigerator for 3 or 4 days. So on the weekend, I love to make, just massage a whole bunch of kale, like toss together a salad with a little bit of salad dressing. And then I kind of just pull from it all week, liven it up with a little more dressing. And it just makes getting a healthy meal on the table so much quicker and easier.
Now for me, I like kale in any form pretty much, but to me, fresh kale versus something I get at a grocery store out of season, that's one of the biggest differences. Like that fresh stuff, like it's way more tender, it's less bitter. I don't know, that's one to really enjoy fresh, I feel like.
Totally. The stuff in the grocery store we'll use for smoothies sometimes. If you add pineapple or mango to a kale smoothie, and then along with a tablespoon or two of peanut butter, I don't know, there's something magical that the pineapple, especially in peanut butter, due to kale, that just makes the kale sort of fade into the distance. Like, it just really, even my husband, who, like, the first time I made a kale smoothie, he was like, get that away from me. Now he makes them willingly, which I'm pretty sure is the biggest endorsement that I can offer.
You got your peanut butter in my kale. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that one, I guess.
I know it sounds, I'm going to be honest, it sounds weird. Like, I get it. You're listening to this and like, why would I put that together? Just give it a try. Just open mind.
I might give that a try. Now, preserving. Now, you and I think, are on kind of the same page. I used to like actually can. I had a canner. I would can things. Now, I don't. But I'll like fridge pickle to do stuff. And you do that too, I understand. What are a couple of your favorite things to do, just a quick, you know, toss it in vinegar or whatever and have in the fridge?
I would say having pickled red onions on hand will just make everything in your life better. I love to add them to salads. They're great added to grilled cheese, tacos. I mean, sometimes I will honestly just like snack on them a little bit out of the fridge kind of while I'm cooking. But that truly, when you're talking about maximum reward for minimal effort, it's hard to beat pickled onions. And I do have a recipe for pickled onions on my website, wellplated.com, for free. All my recipes are free. But if people are specifically looking for the one I make, that's the one I make.
Yeah, I love red onions is the go-to thing for me, to just like toss those quick.
Is it?
And use them in a meal later in the day or later in the week.
I want to try radishes. Like, I feel like radishes and jalapenos could both be really good too. So those are on my list for taco night next.
I'll say I do radishes. My one warning is there's something magical about the smell of even a quick pickled radish. It's terrible, but it tastes really good. So just prepare to have your fridge dominated. Maybe give it an extra couple layers or something with the quick pickled radish. That is my warning.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate
it's chemistry
I appreciate
or something.
That.
Now, okay, we've mostly been focusing on summertime vegetable stuff. And fall, though, is my favorite season. Give us a sneak preview. What are you excited about as, September rolls around?
I just love butternut squash so much. I know most people are really excited for pumpkin. And you know, pumpkin certainly has its place, but the yellow squash that forever has my heart is butternut squash. I just like roast it in casseroles and soups. I can't get enough. And then here in Wisconsin, especially, I'm so excited about apples. I love to go apple picking. Always way overpick on apples, so that turns into the same problem as my zucchini. Fortunately, apples last a long time, but I'm looking forward to using apples in all kinds of sweet and savory recipes this fall too.
And that reminds me, I skipped another recipe. You gave us a peach crisp. I'm a huge crisp fan because it's easy. You don't have to make a pie crust or anything like this. Peaches in our crisp. Tell us about it.
That is a summer. I just think it's so cruel how short stone fruit season is, especially peaches. When you need a dessert that people are just going to go crazy over, I mean, you really just can't. A peach crisp, summer peach crisp with vanilla ice cream, it really just does not get any better than that. It's almost dangerous because it's so quick and easy to stir together. And, you know, once peaches sadly fade into the background, you know, you can use that same recipe with apples. I've actually done a mix of apples and pears together. That's really nice. You can do, if you don't have enough peaches, I just did a peach and blueberry crisp last week that was absolutely fantastic. There's lots of room for playing around, and it's a peach crisp is a very user-friendly dessert. So I always say that is a great one for anyone to make. And yeah, people just go crazy over it.
Erin, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
That's Wisconsin's own Erin Clark, founder of Well Plated by Erin, author of the Well Plated Cookbook. She joined us on Food Friday to talk about cooking with great summer produce. Find some of those recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. By the way, got a follow-up from Grant, who talked about that Mexican herb called pepicha. He says he found it at the Hilldale Farmers Market in Madison. So it is findable here in the state.